And I'm sure, on the same token that you have vivid recollections of some of the tragedies, Challenger, the Columbia disaster, and that one in particular, as someone in a leadership role, how do you respond to tragedy like that and move on?
That's a very, very complicated question, and it's one that I think it cuts to the nature of human reaction to all these kinds of engagements of exploration. This could be a very long answer, so I'll really truncate this quickly to try to capture it. There is no question that you lose anybody in the task of exploring, of simply trying to understand what you would like to know more about that's on the other side of a ridge. And then the tragedy befalls and you lose them. And in this case, we lost seven really remarkable people. That's a searing event. And it was compounded even more so by the fact that I was at the Kennedy Space Center with all the families, husbands and wives and parents and children and friends and all that, as we stood there on the landing strip, fully anticipating any second now, they're going to land. And when it didn't happen, you witnessed in a matter of moments the elation of, my loved one is coming home, and the person I'm most proud of is coming home, to this dawning realization that maybe this wasn't going to happen, and didn't know why, and the confusion and everything else that went with that. So a huge jumble of emotion that went into that. And coming to grips with the fact that this is a demonstration of exactly how incredibly dangerous and risky exploration is and always has been. When you look through the course of human history, over thousands of years, of people going off into wandering into places where they don't know what's there, the casualties attendant to that have been pretty significant and no less emotive. And it is a consequence of just exploring our own planet, getting from one side of this continent to the other. The sheer number of people who befell every tragedy and consequence of not knowing what they were walking into is, or having a dim understanding of what we were getting into compared to what you thought you had, is a jarring experience. And it's been repeated over centuries. And this is another major part of that. The difference is it's dramatic. It's very visible. And when it happens, you just, don't miss it. It's not something that is the horrific tragedy of a highway collision where everybody, slows down and the rubbernecking, continues the challenge of everybody getting through it and then proceed to forget all about it. No, this is something that really sticks with you because it's that big, that dramatic, and it seems to have that much more import to it. So this is a factor to wrestle with. This is part of our own human frailty and human emotion of what it takes to do this. And thank God it is, because otherwise we'd become so cavalier about it. And at times in human history, there have been stages where we have been. And, lots of volcanoes became places that people were sacrificed to. For what reason? we've matured significantly enough as humans over the span of centuries to fully appreciate exactly what it is we're doing here, which is putting people at enormous risk to do something that we really, when you get right down to it, only dimly understand how really challenging and fun it is. And yet, in some ways, NASA was, and all me and all of our colleagues at NASA were culpable for making this whole exercise of, you know, launching shuttles and so forth appear to be far more routine. It never was. There was never a single launch, never a single mission that, that you could define as routine. In the best of circumstances, this was always going to be a case of a unbelievably violent, controlled explosion that you were exposing everybody aboard to in the hopes that they would survive it. And that's the frailty of just the technology of what we employ right now. It's all about chemical propulsion and big, massive rockets and lots of fire and fury and all that stuff. Boy, that's an incredibly dangerous way to do this. And, you know, I personally, my lament has always been that we have progressed not much at finding new and different ways to leave this planet to explore elsewhere that is far less risky than that. And we've dabbled with it, but we've never developed it clearly enough in order to make it a viable alternative to big, massive fire and fury rockets that everybody looks at very romantically, and yet it is the most dangerous kind of way you could possibly send anybody anywhere.
Are we in a bit of limbo right now following the shuttle program regarding U.S. spaceflight?
Yes and no. My personal view is that you referenced the vision for space exploration earlier that President Bush 43 articulated in January of 2004. That had a much more heel-toe kind of intent behind it. At the point in which you retire the shuttle, they would be coming on a new vehicle at that stage to return to not just low Earth orbit, but also to explore beyond that. So returning the moon, going on to any other destination you want to talk about, you know, be it Mars or wherever. That was really the objective of what he talked about, was developing the technology and the means to accomplish that and retire the shuttle at the point in which we finished the International Space Station and this new capability would be delivered. And it was viewed as quite reasonable to assume, given how far down the rails we were, and having a capacity that could replace the shuttle within the span of, you know, 8 years. And that was envisioned to be roughly the time horizon that we were going to be pursuing and had the capacity to do it. Instead, not long after he left, all that second stage stuff went away. The retirement of the shuttle continued the pace, and we got around to just debating a different kind of strategy for NASA that was not as well defined.